Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, why is everybody so quiet?
No, because Blog Talk was having some issues. Like, I was on early, and I let you guys in, and then I guess I had to re-log in. It was kind of strange. I'm waiting to get JQ in, so hopefully we'll get him in a quick second, and all that fun stuff, too. So it's just been interesting, to say the least. JQ's restarting his phone. I don't know who dropped. See?
We see him on video.
Did you guys just drop? Yeah. Hold on. We're going to get you guys in a quick second here. Figure this out. We have Blog Talk, too. There we go. Let me grab this. All right. So if I get Gary here. All right,
yeah,
Gary.
I got you.
Okay.
JQ. I got you now.
Hold on. If we can get JQ on. Okay, let me get this going. There he is. Okay, cool.
Sorry about that. All
right. No worries. I was just telling the fellas, like, whenever I was on early, and then I had to relock in for some reason, and I couldn't – I let both Rob and Jake – or let you in, and I let Gary in, and I guess they weren't on. So it's kind of weird. So sometimes Blog Talk does that, man. So, again, we are officially ready to start here. Only delayed by 2 minutes. The 18th day of October is upon us. We are cruising right along with some Major League Baseball, NFL – basketball starting. If you hear Marcy yelling, she's excited because the Warriors are getting their rings versus the Lakers. Sorry about that, JQ. She's just a little excited,
oh,
man.
Boy.
She's going to be yelling the whole night, man. So, you know, it's all good. Even though I'm not a fan of what they did with Draymond, but other than that, she's excited. So she's going to be yelling every now and then. So it's all good. But checking in with fellas, how you feeling this evening, man? You, JQ?
Oh, I'm good, man. I can't complain. Just had to get some work stuff done. You know, got a good win, and I get my stuff together. Going ahead on the road here on Saturday morning to go up to Cincinnati so I can go watch the Bengals Falcons game with my brother.
Good.
Should be good.
Hey, how long is that drive? You're
a part of that game.
About 6.5, 7.
Good stuff.
I am. Okay. I saw how the damn Saints ran on us. So I know the Falcons going to try to do the same thing. So we'll see.
I'm terrified, man. I'm going to just try to play keep away, run the ball. I'm not going to let Joe Burrow and the Bengals get up on me, man. Try to double team Chase. We don't have AJ. We may not have, you know, AJ Terrell. I don't know, man. Casey Hayward's out, and it's going to be rough, man. So we're going to play keep away, get you guys, man. That's going to be my game plan. So, you know.
AJ Terrell,
yeah,
even guard Chase in college, if you forgot.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say it didn't matter if he, you know, even if he was back. But, I mean, at least we can at least, you know, try to trip up or something. But, yeah, terrified of that game. But it'll be good. It'll be good. How you feeling, Rob?
Feeling good, man. You know, well, it's an exciting time. NBA tipping off. We got Major League Baseball playoffs. You know, National League Hockey. I mean, National Hockey League in full swing now. And obviously we're in the heart of the NFL season, college football season. So a lot going on in the sports world. So it's an exciting time right now. I had some asparagus tonight,
yep.
too, by the way. I have some for lunch prepared tomorrow, too.
It
the Lakers can tie this game up.
You know they can hear you lose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not even counting in his own team.
Oh, man. I secured the tickets for everything, Rob, so hope you're okay with me flying into O'Hare for both flying in and flying out, man. So we'll talk about that. So
Yeah. That's what I'm flying into, too. So we'll be good.
Okay.
I get in
at
9 something that morning,
flight.
Too.
Okay, I got a 5-something flight, man, so on Sunday, I hope that's okay, man. So I don't know how that's going to play out.
That's okay. I won't be getting up that early, right. but you'll be with it.
He said you knock yourself out.
No, Rob's big time at Delta, so they're probably sending a charter jet down for him.
Get out of here. No. Not even close. I wish. Not even
close. How you doing, Gary Curtis? What's going on?
You know, we're doing good. Got over to Curtis's about a half an hour ago and made our picks and stuff for the show tonight. But I want to recognize, all three of you, really, but this last week, Rob and his picks, you know, were spot on. JQ and his comments, you know, regarding McCarthy situational football was a spot on comment, you know, and it seems like, you know, I really enjoy this personally for myself because personally I have learned so much from you guys, all three of you guys, and I just really appreciate you guys. And last week it was like you had a crystal ball and you could look ahead and you saw all these things, Rob, but what was going on with that shit? Pretty much everything
yeah.
you said last week came true. Like,
it's true.
What's going on? Do you know?
Sometimes
they
have a good
we
week.
Don't know, other than, I mean, come on, what's going on? I'm
sometimes
dying
they have
to
a good
hear
week.
What your comments are.
Icing on a cake would have been the Saints
could
have beat the Bengals, but oh, I guess that was too perfect.
Well, that was.
And
I
was
there.
Hey.
You know,
at least LSU
was...
came down to the swamp and won, so being here in Florida, that helps. And Tulane came down here and beat South Florida, so that helps too. So it kind of makes up for losing to Florida State early this year.
Yeah.
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I appreciate
it, Gary. And Curtis, yeah, go ahead and Dirt, he wanted to get your thoughts on the game. I'm sure that's what you wanted to talk about, right, Gary?
Well, you know, my thoughts are, you know, I guess there was a point where, you know, the game was just too big for the backup guy. And in the first half, that's what he showed. What I was impressed with in that game that we lost was another thing that JQ said about, you know, Zeke, was that just, you know, he said, wait till he's healthy, wait till he's healthy. Well, boy, he ran some really hard yards, and he really ran well. You know, he didn't have any breakaway runs, but, I mean, he had a lot of tough runs. He ran better than anybody else has run on him, so I was really happy with that in the loss. I think in the second half, you know, I saw some glimmer of hope, you know, when they came back and it was 20-17. Of course, things didn't happen the way I wanted them to happen. To be a backup and to go, you know, 4-1, whatever, you know, that's good. That's way, way better than anyone thought he was going to do. And he did come back and play pretty solid in the second half. So I was really happy with that. I was disgusted with the last interception he threw. I believe it could have been broken up by CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb completely gave up on that and just trotted off. And I watched that play over and over again. He didn't even swing back around and try and make a tackle on the guy.
Nope.
Your number one receiver is going to catch those clutch passes, is going to knock a ball out that's, you know, is going to be intercepted. And he blocks when he needs to block. That's what a number one receiver does. And he didn't show me that. So I was that was one player that I was disgusted with in the game. I thought they came back, made some adjustments, and made a good game of it. And I believe that with Dak in there, heaven forbid we stay healthy, and we're healthy when we play them again, and Dak's in there, it'll be a different story.
I think we touched on this last week in regards to Dak Prescott. I think if you're Dak Prescott, you got to be grateful to the job that Cooper Rush did, because he kept the team right there in contention, right? And now it's up to Dak to finish the job and take the team to another level. Not rooting for that, because not rooting for the Cowboys, but you know. But anyway, if you're a Cowboys fan, or if you're obviously in the organization for the Cowboys, your hope is that Dak can potentially turn this team into an elite team, because if they were able to go 4-2 with Cooper Rush, your hope is that Dak would turn this team into an elite ball club. And Cooper was only going to take this team so far, but if they're going to go to the next level, they're going to need Dak Prescott. And if he's being successful and being elite and not turning the football over with that defense, hey, they're going to be a tough out for any team in the league, including the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly, the next time they play in Dallas. And if, Dallas keep playing the way they have been playing, you got to think that they can beat Philly when they come down to Big D. So they still have a really good chance of being the elite team if Dak plays like he's capable of playing.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Like, I wasn't necessarily rooting against it. It was just, like I said, I wanted to see what happened when it just didn't go his way. If I give him a ton of credit, he came back, in that second half, and it was like, okay, it's 20-17, they're back in this ball game. I think Zeke ran well, but I think Philadelphia is just playing a tick better than they're playing right now. I don't even know if Dak plays in Philadelphia that they win that game. I think it's one of those home games where, like you said, in Dallas, I feel like Dallas can get that game. Yeah, McCarthy not challenging, the stretch out, and then he just is not a guy I want making my play call. He needs everything to be going right, and then when it's not, I think he panics and he doesn't. It gets too big for him as well, to be honest with you. It just is unfortunate that is the case. I wonder, to your point with CeeDee Lamb, if they don't look up. And I don't think they'll go get OBJ. I think Dallas is a big enough city where he would feel comfortable in Dallas. I think he needs a D.C., a Dallas, a L.A., a New York. He don't want to be in Green Bay or Kansas City or, or Cleveland. Like, he wants somewhere that's big. But I'm looking more towards this draft as we go through in terms of wide receivers available. If they don't look up and say, we weren't in there with Amari Cooper with COVID stuff and he disappears, but do we roll the dice again, on another wide receiver and make CD our number two? To your point, because that was embarrassing. That play, he didn't go to try to make it knock it down. He just got frustrated and rolled away. You can't do that, man. You can't do that to your quarterback. You can't do that when you're playing an arch rival on the road and you got a chance to just steal a game. Yeah. But a part of me was like, and I was talking to my buddy when we were watching it, if you gave Dak some truth serum, I bet you said, fuck yeah. Hey, I come back, we're still 4-2. Now this dude is lost. I can get my job back, and ain't nobody going to say nothing. He can't never say that out loud. But on the inside, a piece of me feels like he was like, that's who I thought he was. Give me my job back, bitches. So we'll see how he responds this week. But I do believe that for him. Because it's going to be hard, like we talked about. It'll be hard to stop riding that wave, especially when they got down. If they had to come back and won that game with Cooper Rush leading them back, oh, my goodness, it would have been so hard to go to Dak this week, because, you got two more winnable games, and you can look up and say, damn, he's won 7 games in a row. So a piece of me was like, Dak was like, yeah, now I have him losing. I'm going to get comeback. I'm going to get these two winnable games to go out there and say, yeah, I'm back, throw for a bunch of yards to get the win, and then everybody puts the Cooper Rush talk to bed. So that was my takeaway from that game.
I'm back, bitches. You talk about the perfect storm. For this game, that's exactly what it was. Somebody made a good comment. That's what a backup quarterback should do, should basically hold serve until your starter comes back, and that's exactly what Cooper Rush did. So, again, kudos to him. That's what the backup quarterback is. You know, sometimes they talk about the backup quarterback is the most famous person, but there's a reason why he's the backup, and this is exactly this game proved that. You know, again, he played extremely well. Like we talked about, JK, you said it, truth serum. Dak is like, whoo, you know, because you don't need that controversy if you're the Cowboys, you know. And Rob said it earlier, Dak is your best chance. So, you know, again, Cooper, you applaud him. Man, great, great story. But obviously, like you said, just Dak is a better player. He's got a contract. And, you know, even though that would have been a tough game to pull out, just it was a situation where it was good for the Cowboys. I know that kind of sucks to hear, Gary, but I think it was good that everything kind of woosaw, everything happened the way that was supposed to happen. And again, you know, everything comes back to earth and Cowboys reset. And you guys are going to be, that division is a great division right now, too. So we're seeing what's happening. It's supposed to be the NFC least. Let's talk about, they're the NFC beast now. So we'll talk about that because, what, Giants are 5-1. You know, obviously the Eagles are doing their thing. So it's looking good for the Cowboys. So don't cry for them, you know. So all good.
Yeah. I think I know we got to go on some of the other topics, but I think the one thing that Cooper Rush, you know, there are going to be some teams that's potentially looking at him, you know, as a potential starter. I know there's quite a few potential first round draft picks in this draft at the quarterback position. Could be as many as 5 or 6, but I think he might be in the conversation for some teams to look at. And if not, you know, Dallas has a legitimate backup quarterback, but. You know, he may be in a conversation for a few starting jobs this offseason.
Yeah.
And just to finish it, if you were Gary, if I told you before the season started, the first 6 games, you would come out of it 4-2, would you have taken that? Not knowing how it was going to go up and down with Dak being out, but Cooper Rush being there. But, hell, if you had told me the Bengals would be 4-2 after 6 games, I would have said, hell yeah, 2 games above 500. So if you take a macro view of it, yeah, you know, 4-2 is not anything to sneeze at. You could be 1-5. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And you're not.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, you know, the way the first half was going, I thought, hell, is this going to be a 35-3 game or 35-0 game? That's what I was thinking in the first half. I'm like,
it was looking
shit.
Like a rout, but yeah, Dallas made a game of it.
You know, but the adjustment that they made, and the fact that Cooper Rush actually came back and played with some poise and. You know, led the team back. I was happy with that. 4-2.
Yeah.
And you've got your backup quarterback in there. You know, I'm glad. I'm happy for that. Of course, you want to win every game. That's not reasonable. That's not a reasonable expectation also for Philadelphia, as people are talking about their undefeated season so far.
Yeah. And that's a good point, too, Gary, because I think coming into the season, we had a lot of interesting situations. Like, we came in thinking that the AFC was going to be we were like, oh, my God, AFC is crazy. You thought having Russell Wilson, that was going to definitely change the Broncos. You talk about an opposite situation. And now you look at some situations, some question marks. You're like, the question marks were with Jalen Hurts, right? Like, is he the guy, right? We didn't really think, you know, if he was going to be doing this thing. We're talking about how you learn from that game against the Bucks last year, but was it true? He's answering those questions, right? And obviously he's getting help, you know, getting A.J. Brown, getting that, you know, great draft. So
yeah.
He's answering those questions too, right? So, right, but they've always done that. And then if you would have told me how bad Russell Wilson would have been playing, he'd be like, what the hell, right? Because that dude was like straight up hot garbage, man. And there's no what the hell is happening with that. And the downcline of the Rams, obviously offensive line challenges with that. And they can't control the injuries, but I think we had some interesting thoughts coming into the season, and it's kind of interesting how it's playing out, right? You talked about it, JQ, with the Bengals, and just, you know, you knew that they were going to be marked, right? You know, Gary, you knew how good the Cowboys were going to be, right? Well, there were some questions with that. We were thinking about the Saints being strong, you know, obviously Jameis Winston, some injuries, the Red Rifles coming back. They predict the Falcons to win 2 games. We've won 3. We've actually beat that, you know. So it's some interesting dynamics as far as what's happening with the league right now, too, right? So, and that was a little shot, but, you know, and look at how Jacksonville's playing, right? We talked about how great Jacksonville, they're actually looking like they're pretty decent because they have good coaching, right? So there's a lot of interesting dynamics.
They lost
Carolina's
in a row
dumpster
now,
fire. They have lost, but, you know, it's just, you know, the ups and downs, what's happening in Miami. We liked Miami. We're like, oh, man, and they were looking pretty dominant. And then he was quarterback and what's going to happen with them too. So I know we're kind of talking about a lot of different things too, but it's just interesting to see.
Well, I would say this about Russell Wilson. I would say this about Russell Wilson when, you know, in when he was with Seattle his last year or so, couple years, he was trending down, but we always contributed that to, you know, players around him as well, you know. But he's just, he's lost a step. He doesn't have that ability to really run out there and run for 20 yards and slide like he used to. And he doesn't have half of the arm he used to have. I mean, some of these passes that he was throwing were just ridiculous. I mean, so if you don't have an arm and you're not quick anymore, what's that?
He supposedly has a lat injury, a shoulder injury, and now he's got a hamstring injury. You know, how much of that has an effect on it? But, you know, we saw his play fall off last year, too. And is it injuries or is it really just that his game is just deteriorating? I mean, I guess we won't know. It just doesn't look the same. I mean, he started off 10 for 10 and went 5 for 17 the rest of the game, I believe. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah, well, see, last year, I guess it's just the fact that we've seen him play so well with that defense and a strong run game. But last year, I felt like he came back too soon from that hand injury, and that was to his throwing hand. So, like, I was willing to give him somewhat of a pass. He was trying to save their season, and he looked bad. But I figured, okay, you're going to give him a whole offseason. You're going to give him, you know, a top-10 scoring defense from last year. You're going to give him three young wide receivers to help kind of guide and mold. And he's out there, man. He's missing wide-open passes. He won't stay in the pocket. He's taking off for no reason sometimes instead of just sliding and staying in there and dumping it down or be willing to take that hit. He's just – I don't know. It doesn't look like he's – it looks like he's jittery is the best way I can describe it back there. He doesn't seem settled.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know he's getting – his offensive line has had some injuries, but we talked about it. It was some years in Seattle. His offensive line wasn't good, and he still found a way to make plays for him. And last night he was just like, oh – let me get out of here, throw it away, and take a sack that he didn't normally take. It was – it's a little embarrassing. I mean, I know they're locked into him for all that money, man. There's nothing they can really do but hope that he turns it around. But, I mean, you talk about falling off the cliff. This is the cliff that he's falling off of, and we never see that same Russell Wilson again. That is a serious drop in a short amount of time, and I did not see that coming. Because we texted about it in the offseason, like, just arms racing the AFC with the quarterbacks. Throw Matt Ryan in there going to Indianapolis. I figured he was going to a solid offensive line, going to get a good running back. You like Pittman out there. And until this last week, he looked like he was done. So you're right, Dre. It's, you know, we got to sometimes, you know, the offseason, we put everybody up on this pedestal, right, certain teams, and then they have to come out and live up to that. And we're seeing a couple, and Russell Wilson, we were talking about just not living up to expectations.
Well, we're seeing
that. It's certainly a league of parity. But another thing with Russell Wilson, man, that pass he completed to K.J. Hamler, even though he completed it, man, he threw it like 20 yards up the throne. Hamler came back and caught it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I mean, he just underthrew him big time. And that was all K.J. Hamler on that throw. And it had nothing to do with Russell Wilson.
And when we were talking about, you know, we were talking about both the AFC and the NFC West as being the two strongest, you know, divisions in their conference. And both of the Wests on NFC and AFC, they both shit the bed, you know, top to bottom.
Yeah. Well,
it's been the East in both of them.
So bad, but the East in both conferences, I mean, you got four teams in the NFC above 500 right now, three of them in the NFC East. Like, the only other team is the Minnesota Vikings, and that is insane. Yeah. And, so the East, I mean, even in the AFC East, you got two teams that are at 500, and then you have the Bills and the Jets above 500.
Yep, unbelievable. Congratulations.
Wrong
coach. We're going to do some baseball talk, and we'll come back around, too. But congratulations to the Yankees. How you guys feeling, Curtis Gary? Feeling good?
Feeling good. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, when they hit home runs, the Yankees are very successful. Obviously, got good pitching tonight too. So that was a big one. Now, obviously, we're going against the Astros. The Astros beat the Yankees 5 out of 7 during the regular season. So it's going to be a tough series, a quick turnaround. I think we'll play tomorrow. So it's going to be real. It's going to be a challenging series. I'm hoping for the best. I mean, if I had to make a prediction, I still think the Astros will win the series. But obviously, I'm going to be wearing my pinstripes here over the next few days. I had it on earlier, changed, but I'll be wearing the pinstripes and hoping for the best.
Yeah, no, I would say
the
same thing.
We just lost
it
for the rest of the postseason, too.
This is the series that I'm so worried about because of the dominance of the Astros over the Yankees this season. I'm glad they're in the series with the Astros, and I'm going to be bleeding pinstripe blue and white or blue and silver or whatever it is. But I'll tell you what, I think they're in trouble. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I believe that the Yankees are in trouble in this series. I want them to be competitive, and I hate the Astros. Please, baseball gods, please listen.
And I lived there for a moment.
The fingers are crossed.
Yeah, Nodge, well, we got Nodge back. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree. I think the Astros are good. I think they're competitive.
It's going to be tough, you know. The Padres kind of did the unthinkable, kind of, you know, beating up on the Dodgers, if you will. And then, you know, the Braves, laid an egg, ran into a hotter Philadelphia team. So it's interesting to see what's happening for the NL side, you know. So, I mean, you never know. It's going to be interesting to see out of that, you know, as far as that.
If the Phillies and the Padres can make it to the NLCS, the Yankees can make it to the World Series. You never know, right?
You never know.
Yeah.
But I would still pick the Astros if I'm making a prediction to win the series.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah, the Phillies bats they just got really hot. Man, they were third place in the division, and they in National League Championship Series. Unreal.
But that lineup, I told you about that lineup when we were talking about the Braves. I was like, man, when you can try out, you know Schwarber and Reese and Bryce Harper, I mean, and Royal Muto, I mean, you know, and Marsh, like they can go like 1 through 6 on you. If they all get hot or 3 or 6 of them get hot at a time on you, good luck. That they pay for it, and Castellanos. Like they have a lineup that, you know, they can match. I mean, they all get hot and start hitting for real. It's amazing to me they were in third place. But a lot of that with injuries because Bryce gets hurt every year. But my goodness, they can hit. They can hit the ball. I think they're going to beat the Padres for that reason. They've gotten hot at the right time.
Yeah, Zach Wheeler was phenomenal tonight. He was reeling and dealing, pitched a shutout.
Yeah.
And he only got 2 runs on the board, but Wheeler was phenomenal tonight.
JQ, what do you think? How many games will it go? How many games will it go? 6?
I think they both go 6. Because I think the Padres have enough hitting to when you get into that third and fourth starter, depending on what they do in terms of matching up. You do a dude on 3 days rest. Or do you go with that traditional fourth and fifth starter? You know what I mean? I don't think the Phillies, plus the Phillies also, that bullpen is not great. They can get a lead, but I think the Padres can battle back in a few games. So I think this one goes 7. I think the Astros win in 6. I think the Phillies win in 7 because that Philadelphia bullpen is not great. You saw the Braves get down and almost come back from, 5 runs down in that game in the bottom of the ninth. So the Phillies bullpen can be had. I just think those bats are so hot, they're going to win a slugfest. It's going to probably be outside of the ninth. I think you're going to see a lot of high-scoring games. I'd be shocked if you didn't, especially, like I said, when you get deeper past those aces. And plus, if you put your ace on 3 days rest, you run the risk of him not having his good stuff, and then he goes out there and gets shelled. So 1 and 2 games might be low scoring first 2 games, but I'm really interested to see that 3rd, 4th, or 5th game, how they do with the back end of both of those rotations.
What's up, Naj? How are you?
I'm making mental notes here.
No, what's up, man? Nah, man.
How you doing?
For some reason, my iMessage keeps sending out these green texts. Nah, this girl's calling me Android guy. I don't know what to say about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, what's going on?
we're just recapping some stuff, man. Glad to have you on board, as always. Yeah, what's up with some things there? We're going to talk about some situations that's happened with the Bucks, man. They're having some serious offensive issues, and Rob is questioning if Brady really wants to play football. That's the thing. You know, obviously, I don't think Giselle wants him around either. So he just needs a hug, Rob. So why don't you kind of be there for him, man? How about that?
No, y'all not going to let this dude skate. Y'all not going to let this dude skate on some marriage difficulties. Nope. He's playing bad, and I'm going to enjoy this. You think I ain't going to – man, I've been waiting on this downfall for I don't know how many years. Y'all think I ain't finna enjoy
like
this?
Like 20 Ooh, years we were waiting for it.
Man, nope. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy all of this, all of the ducks and passes thrown on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it all.
Yeah. I think Nod is right. I think we finally see his age catch up to him. I think a combination of that. Yeah, I think a little bit of it, he doesn't seem interested. And I kind of had that feeling when he took 11 days off in training camp, too. I think he regrets coming back this season. That's just my personal opinion. I could be totally wrong. But I think deep down he regrets coming back this season, and he wished he could have stayed retired early this year. I mean, that's just my personal gut feeling on the whole situation. And his offensive line is not the same. He's not the same. He's not into the game at all, and you've seen it in their production. I mean, the only offense – they played six games so far, and the only somewhat decent game he had was against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs had such a big-ass lead on them that they were just playing prevent defense and just, you know, sure. letting them eat up clock in the game. And, I mean, it's the truth. And, I mean, every other game, I don't think they scored more than 20 points in a game. But they scored 21 against Atlanta. They scored 20 against the Saints, but one of those was a defensive pick six. They scored 19 on the Cowboys. Their offensive production has not been great. I mean, he scored 18 points against the Steelers, and the week before, Josh Allen just made them look like peewee footballers. And so, I mean, other than the Chiefs games, offensively, they just have not looked like they've had juice at all this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, but, you know, say we, most of us in here that are married, we have heard the term happy wife, happy life. And I think he has regretted it because when you have it, don't get me wrong, he's starting to look older, and it catches up to him, like we talked about with Russell Wilson. But it's one thing to say, hey, babe, I'm going to be at the facility doing this and that with the guys, making sure I work on this. And you come home, and everybody's there, and everybody's still somewhat happy, but they understand, and they're committed with you in this process. Are you being gone these days and missing these birthdays and all that? But when you tell them you're going to do something and then you backtrack on it and everybody's pissed, then they bounce and you come home and you're like, well, damn, it was still nice to be able to go kiss them on the cheek while they were asleep and maybe get some eggs in the morning before I left them, before I went to the facility. Now you're just in that bad boy by yourself. You know, I'm 45. You know, I'm the same age she is. Tom Brady is, I think, is 8 days older than me, born in the same month in the same year. And I hate that because I'm looking at my body like, God damn. How's this dude out here playing at 45? I'm doing good to get up out there more than that some days. And he out here playing football at a high level before this year. But I do think it's some of that is that, you know, when you're not happy in one aspect, it's sometimes hard to turn it off. And I don't know if it's a disinterest. I just think it's just at a bad point in life right now with what's happening. And it's all of his doing. She told his ass to come home. He told her he was going to come home. Then he lied to her. And then she said, okay, I'm out. And part of that manifests itself in this play. Sometimes when you're not happy at home, it comes over to work. You guys know it. Sometimes you get in arguments with your wife or having bad days at home, you might just go in and hey, don't talk to me today. You might just snap on somebody on a day you wouldn't have snapped on them if things were going well in other aspects of your life. So I think a part of that can't be ignored for all of us who've been married for a little while, that takes control of all your mental aspects and can sometimes leak into your work life. But there is some peace, and I'm not going to let him ride now. That is just, you know, it's like Russell. He don't want to get hit no more. He don't want to hang in there as much. He's trying to hot potato it. And, you know, you got a burner in there. Mike Evans is a deep ball guy. And if you don't give him the chance to go deep, then you take away one of the best things that Mike Evans does. And he's so quick to try to get it out that, you know, when you can't stretch the field and teams know you won't be willing to stretch the field, they start inching up, and they're more willing to blitz you. They lost to a Pittsburgh team that was down two cornerbacks and their best safety in and Minka, and they just was all in the backfield almost every play. And then you let Trubisky come in and go, like, he was like four or five straight third down conversions.
to ice that game away against the now backup who only got in because the starter got hurt, that's just a bad look for Tampa all around. I don't think it's just Tom. We can talk about that defense that we thought was going to be better than it was. They let Trubisky just make them look bad in that fourth quarter, and that's saying something.
Well, it starts with Tom. You know, it starts with Tom, and it starts with distractions. Distractions, no matter whatever they are, marital distractions, that's a killer. You know, when you've got everything all lined up at home, and as all of us know, when we have our wives behind us on something, there's, you know, we can, within our own lives, we feel like we can do anything, you know. We can really focus on whatever else we're trying to do in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But when all of a sudden you're in a marriage that's falling apart and there's kids involved and all of these other things, you go into that other world. His happens to be professional football, and you half-ass it.
Mm-hmm.
You half-ass it when you're, you know, what are you doing when you're looking at that tape? Are you really dissecting that? Are you thinking about, you know, what's going on at home and how things are going to, you know, be, and are we going to be able to get back together? Or are we, you know, how are things going to work out? You know, that's a hard place to be in life. And he's there. And he's 45. Andy doesn't have an offensive line. That's just a recipe for disaster. And just like Naj said, I'm loving it.
I think we all are.
Not the divorce part. The football side.
Not rooting for that. Yeah.
You know, I'm not rooting for that at all. I'm a diehard romantic. I believe in, you know, commitment and, you know, I would love for them to get back together and for them to live happily ever after. He's a, you know, the GOAT, and he's a perennial Hall of Famer and all those things, you know. But this is just going to be one of those years where I'm going to enjoy it. All those 2 decades of, you know, him getting all the perfect calls and all everything going his way. And for one season, for him not to get all that, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But you got to watch the referees, though. He's still getting some baloney calls.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Finish up, Nosh. Finish your thought real quick, Nosh. What's your thoughts, man?
No, I mean, everybody kind of hit on everything. Like, I wouldn't say the offensive line is that bad. Like, it's not great like it was last year, but it's not terrible. So I don't know if I can really blame
them. One of the best right tackles in the game.
Yeah, he's just not playing
up
to standard. Like, yeah, he's just not playing up to standard, man. It is what it is. But when you think about it, I mean, all of this is self-inflicted. You like Jake, you said, you lied to that woman. That woman took down her her shrine where she had some kind of whatever protecting you, her magic little skills or whatever. The many years where you were able to circumvent the salary cap because of her high salary, that's gone. That's called an extra, you know, benefit we could talk about that Brady was able to enjoy throughout his career. He was able to give the Patriots a discount because of how much money she made. So she had a big part to do with all of this, if we're being honest. So, you know, maybe he just got to go start looking at some one-bedrooms and be that, you know, divorcee here out in these streets. You know what I'm saying? He got to get back into that life. You know, good luck with it, Tom. You know what I'm saying? That's how the game goes, baby.
That man said he had to go get an efficiency.
don't cry, Tom Brady. That dude's gonna get a broadcast job, so we're not crying for that dude, man. So he's already got one slated.
Unfortunately,
I do want to briefly talk about what Gary said last week, because there was a good situation where we feel like he's getting all these calls. He mentioned that Rob. You know, I think a shitty call versus the Falcons because, you know, again, it just, you don't know how to tackle somebody. He kicked somebody and, you know, In this instance, that's why I agree with you too, Naj. I don't want that dude to, you know, be successful at all, man. I don't want that dude on my fantasy team. I don't want nothing to do with Tom Brady, you know, because that dude just is just an asshole. In my world.
Well, you don't want him on your fantasy team because he's not playing good this year. So that's the real reason, right?
I want Ryan.
In general. Same thing, but still, the point remains. I don't want to do anything with to do with Tom Brady, but obviously I respect him as a player and like that, but just this dude is great, whatever you want to call that. But just to see how he's been able to finally get his due, it's kind of refreshing, right? So he's kind of right down to the level, and for him to be playing bad, and he's talked about father time, always catches up with you, right? So, we've kind of beaten that subject to a pulp. But what did you think about the call, Gary, last week as far as what's been happening, as far as these, you know, roughing the passers and all that fun stuff too as well? You said you wanted to mention that too.
Well, I mean, it just there was a couple of, I can't remember what game it was. I was on the the NFL Red Zone when they're flipping back from games, and there was one game where the interior lineman came in and he had an opportunity to just level the quarterback, but he pulled way back. Uh-huh. And just tried to grab him. And the quarterback got away and ended up making a play which got a first down. And they were talking about, well, why didn't he just go in there and tackle him? And the commentators were even saying on the Red Zone that, well, you know, it's because he didn't want to get a 15-yard penalty on him. And that's what shit's coming to. Yeah. They've got in 2 seconds, they've got to come in there, get around that 330-pound stud that's in front of you, and maybe around that tight end if you're one of those elite pass rushers. And then when you get to the quarterback, you got to sack the quarterback and make sure you don't fall on him or touch him. You know, don't touch their helmet with, you know, the top of your helmet to the bottom of their helmet. And you can't roll over on top of them. You've got to do all that in 2 seconds. And it's just getting ridiculous.
Business decision. Yeah, Chuck Smith was on the radio, and I love his interview because he was like a famous talker. He's like, man, by the time you've been chipped all day, you are pissed. Like, I'm gonna sack this mofo. You know, he's like, I'm gonna sack this mofo. I've been getting hit. I've been, you know, battling this dude. The running back's hitting me. The tight end's coming back hitting me. He's like, by that time, I'm like, this mother. Yeah. And it's hard to, you know, stop that emotion, right? Because you're just like, you're like in a lather, in a frenzy, you know, and then you got to stop and be like, let me just be gentle with you. You know, it's unbelievable how they're doing this to players. Chris Jones, you know, you don't know what to sack. You don't know what's doing things is correct. Or it's kind of a very disheartening for the NFL too. So, but again, at least we're not Daniel Snyder holding things, but hold the conversation, but keep it going, man. So,
might as well put skirts on the quarterback.
Yeah.
What happened to Melvin Gordon? Three carries, man. What the hell's up with that, man?
He got benched. He got benched. You can say what you want to say, but Latavius was running the ball well. Like, I saw it. Like, I picked him up in one of those leagues. I was like, oh, I could drop his ass tomorrow. Because this is over. Because,
I was like, man, what they told me before last night, I played him in one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, right? The only reason I didn't is because he was still questionable, so I didn't know. But I think what happened last night really was Latavius came in and he ran really hard. And when you're trying to get back in that game, you're trying to keep the Chargers on the sideline, Latavius was running the ball. Melvin Gordon should have seen this coming. When Latavius had that game, for the Saints, and then he had to go back to the practice squad, and he chose to go to the Broncos, I was like, you just don't go get Latavius Murray just not to use him, right? He's not that – he's a veteran running back at this stage that still got juice left. You're not bringing him in just to give him two carries a game. So I was like, that's an interesting move. I thought they would do more 50-50, but it's just one of those things where you have multiple running backs and you see one dude breaking tackles 5 yards, 6 yards. You know, it's the other thing with the Broncos. Why not just kind of keep beating Latavius Murray and then play action pass off of that, trying to let Russ cook? No, let Latavius cook. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's really what happened is that hot hand took the day, and, you know, Melvin Gordon just left himself on the sideline.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Latavius Murray is no wasted motion when you watch him running the football. You know, he don't run sideways and do all this jittering before. He just straight north. I mean, he doesn't have any.
Yeah, because he can't.
Exactly. You're right. But, hey, it works for him. Yeah, he knows his strength. He knows what he can do. I mean, a bad run for him is still 4 or 5 yards because he just doesn't have any wasted motion. He's just straight north and, you know, good pad level when he runs. And so, I mean, he knows his strengths, but because he has no wasted motion, I mean, he's almost good for 4 or 5 yards every time he touches the football.
Well, how long has Gordon been in the league?
This is his third year in Denver, and he played, what,
yeah,
like
with the Chargers.
4 years
in
the Chargers? So
7 years?
7 years, something like that.
He may be only
a year or two or three
younger than Latavius Murray.
Yeah, it's not as much as you think.
Hey, Frank Gore's ready to come back, by the way. He's ready. Just call him.
Oh, my goodness. Frank Gore Jr. in Southern Miss?
What was that
a part of this is how people think about you. So Melvin Gordon, veteran, like I said, baller for the Chargers. It's the back nine of his career. But when you come in with a new coach and you fumble, now that coach is looking at you as that running back who might fumble. So now he don't really trust you like that. So Javonte Williams gets hurt. They have to replace him. They bring in Latavius. This ain't going to last, man. We know Latavius. It's going to be 5 yards a carry for 2 more weeks maybe, and eventually it goes back down to 3. And you will not want to give him the ball anymore because, like he said, he has no wiggle. He just running straight. And if I'm keeping it a buck, you think the Steelers got some buyer remorse on getting your boy Najee Harris so high in the draft? Because he looks like a plotter. Looks like he has no burst. He can still catch, but, man, Najee does not look like a feature back, bro.
Well, they told me that he had Liz Frank in the offseason. I was like, I put him on my do not draft list. Like, you're not going to tell me that he's in week one and he's going to be ready to go. He's going to be hurt for most of the year. Like, that's that Liz Frank, especially at running back in the middle part of your foot when you're trying to, you know, everything he wants to do, because he does have burst. He did, but he doesn't really have it because that foot isn't right. That's almost like, man, you can – that's evaluating next year, and I'm not rooting for him because you know I can't stand the Steelers. But when I thought he had that injury, I was like, he's not going to be right this year. Not a running back. I just, no.
Another wasted Alabama running back because Nick Saban wore him out in college.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
I was going to go back to the quote that Leroy Hort said. Didn't he say that? He was like, Coach, if you need 1 yard, I'll give you 3 yards.
I'll give
you 5 yards. I'll give you 3 yards.
I'll get you three. Yeah.
The great Leroy Ford. Shout out to him.
That's
the
new Latavius. Huh? Oh, yeah. 1 yard, I'll give you 3 yards. If you need 5 yards, I'll give you 3 yards. What's up? Because we're getting close to the time here. I'm going to let you guys pick your topics because a lot of things that we want to talk through. We just had a little challenge with the start. So we've got some open topics. Again, you guys can pick a topic and kind of go from there, too, because we want to get out on time, as always, too, because it's been a fun week. So pick your topic, shoot away, and we'll let you kind of go from there, too. So go ahead, Rob. Start with you.
Well, I'll go with my top five teams in the NFL. And I'll start off with the obvious, the Eagles being 6-0. It was a big test for them the other night at home against Dallas. So I put them at the number one spot. And a close number two is the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you look at the Bills' schedule; they've really had some tough wins here, and so they're certainly battle tested already on the season. I mean, they've had some really good road wins against the Ravens, against the Chiefs. They've been dominant at home. When you look at how bad they beat the Steelers, I mean, they went to Los Angeles and smoked them on opening weekend. So they're a real battle tested team at 5-1. The Vikings just keep winning. So I have them at the number three spot. The Giants, hey, you got to give them their respect. They're 5-1, and they've had some real tough wins too. So I have them at number four. And even though they lost this past weekend, I'm going with the Chiefs at the number five spot. So those are my top five teams. Then I got my top five 3-3 teams. So I got the Ravens.
Oh my God, Bengals
number one, 3-3. I got the Buccaneers. Number two, even with the washed-up Tom Brady, you still have a defense there. The 49ers at number three, you got to be concerned about them with their injuries, though, with Nick Bosa and mostly losing the corner for the season, too. They got the Bengals at number four, 3-3. And surprisingly, they got the Falcons at 3-3. And it might be playing the best ball in the division right now, believe it or not. And so I got the Falcons at number five. Those are my top five 3-3 teams.
I think I will have to put the Dolphins in there because I think the Dolphins are going to get Tua back. And when he was healthy, when they started that season, everybody was talking about him, and then he got hurt, and then he kind of just shifted away. I thought they were bringing it back about a week or two before I thought they would. But I'm just saying, I don't have any problems with that one there. I don't know why I would necessarily take out, but I think the Dolphins are going to get a takeoff. I don't think about your top five, even though they got a better record than the Chiefs. If they were playing the Chiefs, would you take Minnesota or the Giants over the Chiefs if they were all part of this rundown playing on week to week? I think all of us would probably take the Chiefs over the Giants and over Minnesota. That's why I would put them at three. Just if I had to say head-to-head, who would I trust more? Not to say that the Giants and the Vikings aren't deserving, but I think the Chiefs win that game.
Yeah. Well, if they're playing the Kansas City, the Chiefs definitely win. For sure.
Yes. I was going to do college football prediction one. Syracuse at Clemson. Come on, man. Why do we keep talking about Syracuse? I know you got to put somebody in the top 25. But, you know, they're going to go down to Clemson to get their doors blown off. Usually at Oregon, I got to chuckle with that because much as I talked about Bo Nix in the beginning of the season, Oregon is playing a lot of better brand of ball, and I just don't trust Chip Kelly like that, so I'm going to go with Oregon. I do like Dorian Thompson. He's been playing good ball for UCLA. I think that's going to be a really good game. Now I pick Bo Nix. I know he's going to turn into the Bo Nix I know. Texas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State generally has been playing better defense, but they were in the shootout last week. I hate to say it, but that Ewers kid that left Ohio State and John Robinson, Sark might have one in Texas. They're playing good ball, and they just –
Quinn Ewers, yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Texas. Y'all pray for Mississippi State. Y'all pray for Mississippi State on Saturday.
I
like Will Rogers. But Alabama, you know the week they have had with Nick Saban. You know it has not been pretty. That might get ugly. I'll be shocked that Mississippi State.
He was throwing a tantrum at the game on the sidelines the other day.
Oh yeah, he's gonna lose his mind on the lemon prices. I don't know how many hours a week they're supposed to get, but you can go ahead and double that shit. Nick is gonna cheat. He's gonna have the boys out there practicing tonight. he gonna find a way to get some time with them boys this week. And then Kansas State TCU, that's another good one. But that TCU offense, man, has just been rolling. They at home, so I'm gonna go with TCU.
And Dugan, the quarterback for TCU, he's been outstanding, and their receivers, too. They've been a real surprise. So I pretty much agree with you, except Texas and Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State on that one. I like Texas. Quinn Ewers has been playing really well. They look a lot better. I just think this is going to be a tough road game for them. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State in a nail-biter by a field goal. But other than that, I agree with you. I agree with Clemson. I like the way Oregon has turned their season around after that blowout loss to Georgia. They're looking a lot better. I think they give UCLA their first loss this season. And totally agree with you with Alabama there and TCU. So, yeah, I think the only one that I would slightly disagree on is the Oklahoma State. I'm picking them slightly over Texas.
I think that's
the one thing I'd start off with saying is, yes, Deion Sanders – would be a good coach at the next level in college football. I think he's proven himself down there. I think he's a good recruiter. I think if you put him at a Power 5 team with some name recognition along with that good team,
good.
I think he could do quite well at the next level. I'm also going to go with the college football scores. I've got Clemson. I've got Oregon in a close one. I've got Oklahoma. Alabama's going to roll, of course. And I've got TCU.
No pun intended.
So, right. So
you know Mississippi State was watching that game like, fuck.
They're like,
and
oh,
the
yeah.
It was the next week.
Shit.
why are we even here? They yeah, that's got to be an ass kicking right there, man. Yeah, you played the team at the wrong time. Nah, do you got anything to add to any of that?
Oh, no, man. We'll see, man. TCU, yeah, stay with them, especially in DFS. If you're messing with college, perfect way to stack them up. You can make a little bread. They've been treating me nice this year. Everybody else, I do not trust. I told y'all about Oklahoma, and y'all said, no, that's Venables. I told you. That man is not going to
Venables
Oklahoma. They're going to bring in a big-name guy in a few years. I'm just telling you, this is how these things are going to go. Big-name coaches all day, everywhere. But, yeah, man, I guess I'm excited for the rest of the season. We'll see. It is what it is. Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten.
Gotcha.
Hey, you know what?
Was
it Deion Fees?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, too. I was interested. No, I'm with you because I'm kind of curious, like, what's a good Power 5 job, right? Because, again, I know, you know, I believe in Georgia Tech here, but I know it's kind of like a long shot. But what's kind of a good job? Is Nebraska good? Is Auburn good? I mean, you know, kind of where would you think kind
of all
lean,
of those jobs
yeah.
are terrible.
How about his own alma mater?
All jobs
lost Florida
terrible.
State not giving him a look. They just lost.
Yeah.
Why
did
he do it before he went to Jackson State? That's what I was going to say. Like, what was the conversation like when he said, I'm ready to get into coaching? Hey, they had an opening that year, and you just tell Deion, no, like, how? It's a win-win. Deion coming to your house, talking to these kids that grew up, looking at Florida State. He's going to bring in top-name dudes to be on his staff. I just don't know what the outlet of love to hear that conversation because I just don't know how that didn't happen. And I still think it could happen because Florida State really ain't playing great ball. Like, you buy that dude out.
Nope.
Florida State boosters in the NFL would buy that dude out so they can hire Deion. So that was my point. Why not Florida State?
Yep. Totally agree. I mean, Florida State got off to a decent start, but now they've lost three in a row. They've lost Wake Forest, North Carolina State, and now Clemson. And so now they've fallen back to the middle of the pack again. This is Mike Norvell's third year. Do you go ahead and pull that plug now if Florida State keeps going on the downtrend right now? And do you go after, you know, that to me that's the perfect situation. But if Florida State doesn't go after them, you mentioned it, Andre. I mean, Georgia Tech, yeah, Atlanta's a recruiting hotbed for football, right? And, I mean, that's one to look at. Arizona State could be a sleeping giant in a major market in Phoenix. They can recruit California. That could be another one that you can look at there. I don't know if you want to go to Nebraska. I mean,
this ain't the 70s.
These brothers don't want to go to Lincoln, Nebraska anymore. I mean, so you can forget. I'm sorry.
Iowa.
I'm telling you.
Go ahead, Rob.
All of those are terrible jobs except for Florida State.
Yeah.
Like Georgia Tech,
Florida
you're in Atlanta, but you got academic standards that make it difficult to get certain players there, and you're fighting with Georgia. Bad job. Nebraska, you got alumni who think you're a blue blood, but in actual reality, you haven't been a blue blood for 30 years, but they still got those expectations. They will run you out on the rail. Even though you're really not good enough to compete. Auburn, y'all already know. You're Alabama's little brother. And the alums are ridiculous and think you should be as good as Alabama. So,
yeah, but you
can
nick on the backside of his career, though. Like, he's got the one dude with the cachet that can say, why would you go play for 65 or 70-year-old Nick Saban? I'm here at Auburn, and I bring up. I think Auburn could be a sleeper giant with Deion. I do, if he don't go to Florida State. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night live at 11 p.m. Eastern for those of you on the East Coast. Philadelphia, y'all had a lot going on tonight. The Phillies win. 76ers got their ass kicked, but the Flyers beat the Lightning. So, hey, you got 2 out of 3 tonight. We want to hear from y'all next week on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Central Time Zone, Chicago, what's going on with Justin Fields, man? Is he the quarterback of the future? We want to hear from y'all in Chicago, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Saints, 2-4, what's going on down there in the Big E? We want to hear from y'all next week, too. And in the Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone, Denver. You stuck with Russell Wilson for 5 years, man. I don't know. I want to hear from y'all. Y'all happy about that? You're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. You got a guy with a 5-year contract. Hey, it's October, too, and it's New Mexico, so it's JQ favorite time of the year, the Balloon Festival in Mexico. 9 o'clock, y'all, in New Mexico. And then on the West Coast, Oakland, Los Angeles, Too Short, Oaktown 357. We're on here for y'all next week.
Get loose.
Get loose.
Yeah. West Coast, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
That's why it's so stupid. Oh, man, we appreciate y'all for joining the show. We holler at y'all next week.
I know we're going to wrap us up, but I do want to, you know, definitely have to disagree with you, Naj. I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder with Georgia Tech, because I do think, I know they may have some challenges on academics, but Deion could do something with that. He could talk to some people. You know, I'm sorry, he has a lot of clout, man, believe more than what we think. You don't have to get all the top players, but like you said, in Georgia, it is a hotbed. You know, all these guys are going to Clemson, all these guys are going, they're going to a lot of different places. If he can get just a handful of those guys in Georgia, get some talent, I'm telling you, that could be a really serious situation. Now, again, I'm not expecting that. It'd be great because we just lost the hype guy, but Deion Sanders is a whole other level, man. If you talk about getting some cachet back, getting something back, you know, where we haven't been talked about for years, so that can be a good look. I mean, obviously you said Florida State is the perfect situation because he's from Florida State, but don't sleep on that, man. So if you're like, hey, the world is your oyster, you can do whatever you want, Deion could be,
man,
very impactful.
If
know?
He goes
you know,
to Georgia
so
Tech, he'll be fired within 2 years, if not on probation.
He will not.
For one.
He will not.
For one.
He will not. I would disagree with that 1,000%.
Let me lay out why. Let me lay out why.
Okay.
If you're in Atlanta, as Andre knows, the outside the perimeter section of Atlanta, the 680 the fan, so to say, that does those call-in shows, I would like you to get an idea about what they would say about Deion when anything goes bad. Then you got the other part. Georgia Tech is famously known for what? Being put on probation while North Carolina was basically given a slap on the wrist. Why? Because you're Georgia Tech. And when the big boys start calling in on Deion, which they will do the same way they did my man at Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, they will call in on him. Yeah, man. That's a quick way to get probation and fight. Like, Georgia, look, the academic standards is one thing, because you're going to have certain players who you would have got who you then automatically lose, and then you got to deal with not only the alums but the locals. I'm sorry, man. I wouldn't take Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech, the best thing you can do at Georgia Tech is a Paul Johnson-type guy, a lower-level guy who's going to run something like an option, some kind of system that you can just always have in place, and then hope to get, you know, bowl game level wins. But being like a premier football program, I just don't think it's possible at Georgia Tech. I don't think you can sustain it.
I mean, yeah, well, like I said, definitely all have opinions. It's all good. Like I said, no one's saying we're trying to be Georgia or anything like that back in the day. You know, we're trying to get some respectability. But, you know, again, each his own. I'm with, you know, Chaney's the guy.
Well,
you know,
I'm
close to Carolina. Different. But it's all good.
No, the respectability is being a world-class university. Let them be a damn football factory. Georgia Tech is renowned across the globe, man. For academic.
Well,
I'll
give you that.
I think
you can split the difference because, I mean, Notre Dame is not back, but Notre Dame also has ridiculously high academic standards, and they've been able to field some really good teams. And I know we all get mad at them being overhyped, but they've had some good schools, and I mean, we're still talking about them. And I get the, you know, they're independent, so they don't have anybody necessarily calling
in
on them. But I think some of that changes with the NIL. But you can pay these dudes now. So some of that probation stuff I don't think hits as hard now that you can pay with NIL.
Yep.
And the other reason I would say Georgia Tech or Florida State is because if you go to the ACC, like you said, Auburn, you got to deal with Georgia, you got to deal with Alabama. Tennessee's playing better ball now. Florida generally is going to be in the mix. You go to the ACC, you're really just dealing with Dabo. You only got to deal with one monster display, right? And if you go into it, he can, you know, Deion can go head up with Dabo, especially in recruiting and everything else. You look at everybody else, they just kind of happen to be there. Miami, you think they might come up. We've been thinking about that for years. Then they up and down. Florida State as well. You can't never really put no stock in Wake Forest and Boston College and them boys. So you're really just dealing with Clemson. So if you can go there and build any kind of thing at Georgia Tech, you could be in a running for the ACC championship every year. That's going to be really hard to do if you choose Auburn and go to the SEC. But,
man, Dabo on the phone right now while y'all talking. I don't like that ish. I don't like that. Mm. I had to drop a dime.
The sleeping giant. Like, he's got the world is his oyster, man. It's prime recruiting territory. You can attract as much talent as you want. Like we talked about, there's pluses and minuses for both, man. And we've seen the Stanfords win. We've seen teams with tough academics. We've seen Notre Dame win. You know, who the hell is Clemson? I mean, hell, they got freaking Trevor Lawrence from our damn backyard. And so you get one quarterback, and they were in the running with the top
Sean Watson.
They lost him to Alabama. Yeah, so you're like, man, what the hell? This dude, there was a great interview about him on 60 Minutes. He's like, hey, I don't even have any money to do facilities. He doesn't have any money. If you gave him any money, that dude is going to kill it. He's going to kill it, you know. So
let me give you all alternative. What if he stays at Jackson State for 20 years and becomes the Eddie Robinson of this era, teaches kids, changes people's lives, and becomes a beacon for what can be at situations like that, to where you're not – football is not first. Football is secondary because you're an institution of higher learning. To me, that's the – you know what I'm saying? That's the damn –
leaving a legacy.
Perfect scenario.
Leaving
that's
a legacy.
You know what I mean? That's the happily
ever. You know what? Eddie Robinson never had a video talking about show me the money. That's why.
So, I'm not calling myself prime time either.
Right, the helicopter in the game. I hear what you're saying. That would be really, really cool, and I would 100% be behind that. But I feel like Deion, as humble as he's been in this whole thing and helping these kids out, I think what you said would be an amazing thing. But he's still got that prime time in him, that high stepping down the sideline in him. That if somebody with a big name comes and say, hey, you got the keys to the kingdom, here is $8-9 million for the next 5 years guaranteed out the gate, and it's the right situation, I could see him leaving because he just got that piece of, I know, okay, I've done it here. I've done the impossible. I've taken the HBCU and put them on football
put
every
on
Saturday, and people are talking about it. So that next challenge, the same way Nick Saban, why would he ever have left college? He had to get that taste of the NFL to see if he could do it there. I feel like a piece that is going to be in Deion, where he's going to say, I've done it here. I took y'all to another plateau, and I left y'all in a better place than you ever have been. Can I go do that at Power 5 School X? I feel like he'll at least consider it. And that's why I say I'm 50-50 on him having the Eddie Robinson kind of career, just because I feel like he's got that thirst to do that piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll let Gary talk, too.
I mean, let's just face the facts, too, in Eddie Robinson's area. A lot of these universities was not hiring black coaches. I mean, let's just face the reality of it. I mean, what year did Sylvester Croom become the first black head coach in the SEC? I mean, it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe? So they were not hiring black coaches in the major universities during Eddie Robinson's time.
Yeah, but yeah. Eddie wasn't.
Well, I think that
Eddie
Deion will
chasing it though.
I think he's I think he's got an opportunity. If he gets that opportunity to go to a Power Five, and I don't know which school he would go to. Of course, there's ones we know would be tailor made for him. But if he goes to any of them and he makes them competitive, I don't think Deion will be satisfied with that either. I think he would like to go and coach in the NFL.
He said he doesn't want to do that. He said he doesn't want to do that. There was an interview on 60 Minutes, and he basically said
yeah,
that.
I know, I heard that.
He's like, I don't want to.
I know,
yeah,
I heard that,
so,
and I didn't feel like he was being very sincere. I think what he meant to say is, you know, that's really not something for me, right? you know what I mean? I think that.
No, he talked about that when he was on the NFL Network. He was like, look, when I talked to them about a coaching position, they told me I would have to be a gopher first, meaning the guy going for coffee, going to pick up notes and going to do this and that, picking up people from the airport. And it's like, dude, I got Hall of Fame credentials. I should be able to get one of these DB jobs and then move up. And they were telling him he had to start at square one, and that was a big part of why he didn't get NFL coaching. But he talked about that.
Right.
On the NFL Network.
Well, that was also before he'd really proven himself. And if you prove yourself, you know, like he already has, now he goes to a Power 5 school and he makes them competitive, gets them in the playoffs, let's say. makes that type of a jump, then it's a whole different conversation.
Hmm. Yeah,
he might have been thinking as of right now is what you're saying. Like, I'm not interested in that
NFL
as of right now.
That open mind,
right?
Because they're not.
and that's a fair point because, like I said, you know, things you have the right to change your mind, right? Everyone has that right. You never know. Hey, I'm thinking about this right now in this present situation too, because I agree with you, Naj. I was in Jackson, Mississippi whenever we found out how popular Deion is. He's done so much stuff not only for Jacksonville State, but he's also done great stuff for the whole conference. You know, having, you know, Eddie George there. I mean, he's brought so much attention to what's happening. I mean, the practice field was terrible. Came in there, got Walmart, and he's just making all these things happen, you know, and he can do that, right? So that's the situation where you'd love to see him just kind of stay there and live out that legacy. But the other half of him, like you said, JQ, it's like, I don't have the money. You know, what if I had the money to do whatever I wanted? That's a huge opportunity, you know, for him to kind of take advantage. Like, he could have, should have, would have, you know. So, and same thing, NFL. Okay, now that's the next challenge, Gary. Oh, you said I can't coach NFL? Damn. Well, damn it, I'm going to coach NFL, right? So just he may prove some people wrong. I could see that too. But you never know, you know. So,
hey, man, look, I'm going to keep it a buck. As long as – and Andre, I know you're going to get this, and JQ is definitely going to get this. As long as that HBCU financial aid line on day one is outside the door and around the block, they don't need to upgrade the football facilities. That is not important. Like, look, man, if you want to do that superstar stuff, go somewhere else. These schools are not for that, man. I'm sorry. Y'all want to keep doing something else? That ain't what it's for.
Can't lie about that. That financial aid line is ridiculous on the HBCU. You'll get your damn shit in December for the fall semester.
So there's real problems there, man. So the idea that you're going to pump everything into football, man, look, you need to go somewhere else with that, dog. You want to do prime time, go to Florida State and do that, man. These schools are to teach people.
But JQ was right, man. The NIL is here. I mean, that's a different conversation now, bro. You got to think about that. That's why you think Nick Saban's talking shit about that? Because he knows, bro, all it takes is one or two deals, game changer. Game changer, bro.
Yeah.
So
and
you can't just think about that.
And you
man.
Would think that major markets would have more success with the NIL deals because you got more businesses, you got more people that you can get up. Tuscaloosa, Alabama is a little hick town, right? So you would think that a major market eventually will be able to get better NIL deals in the process. I mean, being in Los Angeles, UCLA and USC,
Sleeping Giant,
being in Atlanta, or you know, being in Chicago, or Northwestern, or Illinois, or Notre Dame, not far from Chicago.
But how many of those people are fanatics though? That's the separator.
Right.
You go to Tuscaloosa, the money that they're all football fanatics. So you're getting all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You go to L.A., there's so many business opportunities out there and there's so many wealthy people out there, but how many of them actually care about college football to that degree? Not, you know what I mean?
They
not,
care about,
not same,
L.A. cares about
the same
college
religion.
Football more than they do about pro football, to be honest with you. You look at those charts, and there's more visitors than those stadiums. But Los Angeles care about USC and UCLA.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
But that's what I'm talking about, Naj. I think, you know, we're splitting hairs here. We can, you know, I don't keep – we have to, you know, wrap the show up too. But I do think it's the sleeping giant, man. There's a lot of opportunities, man, that are just not – like, there's a lot of, you know, stones that haven't been unturned, man. So, like you said, the way that college football is now, what's happening with, I know, all the deals with SEC and TV stuff, there's some things that are shifting too. And we're not talking about, again, you don't have to be like the SEC, but if you just carve that piece of the puzzle – man, like I said, he could be that big fish in a little pond, man, and that's a great opportunity. You can get whatever you want. I can strike deals. I'm from Atlanta. I played baseball here. I can pull connections from Dallas. I can pull connections from – I mean, shit is – you know, like I said, I was like you, man. I don't think he's going to take it because I'm like, man, that'd be a pipe dream. I think more of like a, you know, Jamie, you know, the guy from Coastal Carolina, Chaney. I think that's a great fit, right, because he's got that crazy offense. But, you know, that's kind of – you know, that's kind of – that's a great pick, but – If you got to at least try to call Deion, like, bro, what do you need, man? What do you want? Because that would change the landscape, man, if you could do something like that. And I don't even care if we're bad. Just the excitement he would bring. You know how much shit we would get talked about finally? And, again, are we the premium? No. But just that thought is like, damn, that would be amazing because
we're finally getting talked about. Because we, like, yeah. we're shit, man. No one cares about us. We don't care about us, you know? So even if that's like, that would be like, oh, man, somebody actually cares, you know? It's a little different, you know? So that's my 12 cents for sure.
Hey.
I apologize.
Like I said, you would think the larger markets would have better success with the meal deals, which is a big advantage for Georgia right now, too. I mean, Alabama's going to have the Mike's Pawn Shops giving them meal deals, where Georgia and Georgia Tech are going to have Home Depot and Georgia Power.
Mike's Pawn Shop.
That Mike's Pawn Shop.
You stupid. Shop out there.
No, but remember,
yo,
I'm
ready to contribute to
you guys. Some old money in Alabama, man. It's some slum lords and some multiple liquor store owners, and like they got some bread, and they love them some Alabama. Like they gonna put that money down.
They got
right.
Wheels Moonshine, Moonshine store.
And they came by the Huntsville Faith Center.
You know how it goes, like small towns
now,
and states
got the money
where money is really concentrated.
Huntsville,
like that.
Got the money. That
don't sleep on Alabama.
Right.
Yeah, they got some stuff. Yeah. Hey, Rob,
there,
every time that he brings up the slumlord, or he reminds me of Sheldon Williams, you know, and Billy Knight, because they called him the landlord, and he was really the slumlord, because that dude was terrible, man. There's no way we should have picked that dude in the spot,
terrible.
Man. What the hell, man? What the shit, man? The freaking landlord.
Billy Knight
no
gave him
shit,
a guarantee
man.
On draft night. No,
the process is ongoing.
He gave
what
him a guarantee.
The hell? Freaking slumlord. He was not the landlord. Get the hell out of here. I'm sorry. Some badass.
Yeah,
man,
we got to go.
Not
right,
to
guys.
Mention he was at Duke for 15 years as well. Yeah, you got it.
And he
I'll
had
see.
Candace Parker. What the hell? Come on, man. Can't close
now,
that
how
game.
The hell did he
man,
pull off that
on.
Wizard? That's the question.
Now, that dude, can I tell you somebody that seemed like he'd been in college forever, man? Drew Timmy for Gonzaga. That dude
yeah,
seemed like,
yeah,
like a
15-year
That man,
like,
that man
gets a discount on rental cards. He's still in Gonzaga. What the hell, man?
I can't. Gary. Thanks for putting up with us, man. I know we kind of went off the rail. We didn't get any more thoughts for you, man, but hope you had a good show.
Oh, that's fine.
You and Curtis,
I'm enjoying
sure,
it.
So. Nuts. Oh, boy. A guy can hope and dream, man. Shout out to Rob. He's going to give me the tickets. We're going to hang out in Notre Dame. Looking forward to that. Coming in about 2 weeks. That's going to be fun. So we'll hang out, get some picks, go see the convicts. No, I'm just joking. Hang out at Notre Dame. That'd be fun for sure, man. The Catholics versus the Catholics.
I'm gonna have my signs,
but
JQ hates y'all.
Man, let's go, man.
Like who the hell
have that
JQ?
Sign ready, Jerry?
That's
like,
terrible.
You have a sticker on it and everything.
They're going to be like, look, somebody's going to, that'll be awesome. Like, what the hell is JQ? Oh, man. We're going to be like laughing.
Oh,
like,
my
oh,
goodness.
Man.
and just to ruin JQ's night, hey, JQ, if your boy Mixon don't start delivering on yards per carry and yards per touch, he might be a cap casualty next year. Cincinnati got big plans. An expensive running back that ain't looking like himself, that ain't part of the plan.
They ain't get touched
oh,
the ball every down against the Saints this past weekend. They hardly handed the ball. It was just dropping
yeah.
back like pitch and catch.
I think that part of that Man. Is part of the reason to drive down his value. I think he's going to be cut. They got too many people to pay. You can always get a running back in the third round, second round. Hello, Breece Hall. So, yeah.
Breece Hall,
yeah.
man. He's looking phenomenal for the Jets. And,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams and Sheldon Rankins on that defensive line. Whew.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
they
yeah.
eat the Packers for lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Man.
Yeah.
If they put it together, I mean, man, that's going to be a talented squad. We talked about how good they, you know, they did. Soft guard is playing well, like you talked about last week. Man, they're some youngsters, man, but they, man, a lot of talent.
Zach Wilson
squad,
still
so,
is not playing great, though. But Breece Hall, man, he's looking phenomenal.
Yeah, they got yeah. Zach Wilson buttoned up, man. They're slowly developing him. Read one side of the field and go,
yeah.
boy. We ain't got time for all that. But since we're all riding right. on Tom Brady, did we forget about A-Rod? Your boy A-Rod yelling at receivers. Looked like he can't push the ball down the field. Shout out to A-Rod, Mushroom Music, Ayahuasca, and all that other stuff. And now, yeah.
A-Ron.
Captain Upton, you know, they lost the last 2 weeks, and we said that it wasn't looking great even when they were 3-1, and now it's catching up to them. I didn't even put them in my top five of 3-3 teams.
You can't.
I'm not even going to get started.
All right, y'all, man. I got to get out there.
Have a great rest of the year.
Wish
yeah,
we had
25
minutes
day.
To go, though.
yeah, all good. Hey, gentlemen, have a great rest of your day and week, and I'm sure we'll connect. I'm sure we'll get some text going, and please be safe out there for sure. Okay, guys? We'll talk soon.
All right,
guys. Have a good one. All right, peace.
All right,
peace.